Your anger wants to protect you. Your anger wants justice. Your anger shows that you are human, that you are sensitive, that you have hope and a better expectation than what currently is. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome. My name is Alicia Renice, and I'm so happy that you are here. And today we're going to be talking about anger. Apparently, everybody in the whole wide world is allowed to be angry, except for Black women. We know this. We know that when people want to disrespect Black women, one of the first things that they say is, "You're angry." If a woman expresses her passion or her frustration or her sorrow, right, the first thing people do to discount Black women is call them angry. First, I want to shout out Marissa Price. Thank you. Marissa Price and I got a chance to hang out last week, and she gifted me this button of Audre Lorde. Now, Audre Lorde is one of my favorite authors so far. She has written this book that I have fallen in love with called Sister Outsider. And towards the end, I'm going to share some of her writings with you to express how she feels about anger. But the first thing I want to say is something that I've written, and so I want to share that with you. Your anger wants to protect you. Your anger wants justice. Your anger shows that you are human, that you are sensitive, that you have hope and a better expectation than what currently is. So anger, could anger not... Anger is one of those emotions that people judge as bad. And I have a problem with that, because anger, just like sadness or sorrow or joy or frustration or hope, all of these feelings are valid and all of them have their time and place. Could it be that anger is a place of hope? Could it be that anger, that you feel angry because you know what could be versus what is, right? And so the first thing that I wrote down in my journal was, I am angry because I am kind. My anger shows my kindness. My anger shows that I care about people. And I feel like it should make anyone upset when we see someone being harmed or ridiculed or dragged through the mud, right? Anybody who is being treated unfairly, like, it should call us to anger because we are kind, because we care about people, right? And so we like to flatten anger as if it's just this like one-dimensional emotion, when really anger is a layer of a lot of things. Anger is like an onion, right? Like, we see the whole thing, we say, this is anger. But what is underneath, right? Anger, I would like to say, is even a pearl, right? Anger is a jewel to me. Anger is something that is so precious because it could be used for good. But like, it starts with an irritant, right? We know that oysters, to create pearls, organically, oysters might have like an irritating sand granule in their flesh. And so they build this like, this hard shell around that sand. And then that's how you get pearls, right? I think that anger for Black women are pearls, or something so precious that could be used for good and for beauty. But because Black women are often put to the sides and seen as less than human, we don't get the right to be angry. Black women don't get the right to be angry unless our anger is used for somebody else. But we'll talk about that soon. So underneath of my anger, what is there? There is sorrow, there is despair, there's righteousness, there's care, there's concern, there's hurt, there's empathy, fear, a desire for justice, a desire for repair, right? Kindness. At the center of my anger is kindness. Humans have complicated feelings. And I think that sometimes we, again, use anger to shut people down, to say they're just an angry person, when really this person is a hurt person. This person is a marginalized person. This person is a forgotten person. This person is an abused person, right? And we, instead of looking at the situations surrounding their anger, the situations that make them angry in the first place, we look straight to them and say, you're a problem because you're making all of us uncomfortable when we should be uncomfortable, right? I think that, again, we've gotten to this place where we are so like focused on ourselves. We're so like individualized that we don't care about other people and other people's plights. We don't even care about how our existence and the way that we move throughout the world affects other people, right? We love to be ignorant to the harm that we cause. We like to be ignorant to the harm that's around us, because then that would call us to action. If we are made aware of the ills of the world, then at some point we become responsible for what we are or are not doing. And so to avoid doing those things to make it better, we just determine that people are angry, and angry people don't get justice. Angry people don't get kindness. Angry people don't get grace, especially if that anger shows up in a Black woman's body. We know that from personal experience. Black women are often seen as a few archetypes, right? The angry Black woman, the bitter Black woman, right? And all of these things are very ugly in their description because it dehumanizes her. It takes her humanity away. No one wants to talk about why she's angry. We only talk about the fact that she is angry as if it's a bad thing, and it is not a bad thing. in the world's eyes, Black women don't get to be angry because Black women don't get to be human. Black women don't get to show up as a full human. Black women are only seen for what they can provide for other people, right? Like in the eyes of men, in the eyes of the white gaze, right? Black women are seen as people used to get their message ahead, their things ahead, right? So even when I talk about people love calling Black women angry, but when injustices occur, who are the first people they call on? When things happen, who do they look to if we are too quiet in their mind? Black folks, and specifically Black women. So they honor the fact that we have anger that gets things done, that gets things moving when it's beneficial to them. But when a Black woman calls back her anger and her power as something sacred to be used for herself, then we're deemed as inhuman. You know what I'm saying? As something unhuman, right? So anyway, it's only helpful, our anger is seen as helpful and lovely when it's convenient for other people, when it doesn't rock the boat too much, when it doesn't disturb other people's peace, when other people don't feel called to action, right? That's the only time that a Black woman gets to be angry. But when a Black woman speaks about everything, like all the things that are wrong with the world, oh, shut up, Black woman, like you're just bitter, blah, 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 because they're using that to silence us. It's the same tricks, different year, same thing. We know that when a Black woman is called difficult, for me, it's code. For me, when people say that Black women are difficult, I feel a way because I'm not quick to judge a Black woman as difficult. But if she's difficult because she's trying to do what is right, then okay. What's the problem? if the difficulty is her fighting for what's right, of course it's going to be difficult for people who don't want to do what's right. Like, who is calling her difficult and why? What is the situation around it? Because people are too comfortable with calling Black women difficult because we know that that seals it for them. Once you label a Black woman difficult, it's over. It's over, whether professionally, relationally. It's a kiss of death that a lot of people use to be able to silence Black women, right? But I will be difficult. I don't mind being difficult. I said, I'll be difficult if it means my anger reminds you of your humanity. Like, you're uncomfortable because I'm angry because of something you did to me. Good. Good. You're supposed to be uncomfortable. You're supposed to be uncomfortable and consider like, huh, what could I have done differently? Or let's have a dialogue. Let's discuss. Let's try to find common ground. But people don't want to do that. People don't want to be wrong, right? So anything in the way of people being right in their own eyes, they're going to see as difficult. They're going to see as a burden. They're going to see as like a bitter, angry Black woman, when really this Black woman just wants justice or reparation or repair. So if me being difficult reminds you of empathy and your humanity, if me being difficult gets me the results that I need and want and desire, so be it. I will be difficult, right? And if it makes it more difficult to be complicit with harm for you, then good. We should, like, there's a level of comfort that we have here in the West where we are able to shut off any bad news. Like, we're able to turn off the TV. We're able to close our phone or scroll to some other app. We're able to be anywhere but here. We're able to consider other things, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes we become apathetic. Our comfort turns into apathy. We don't care about other people. We don't care about other people. So we, to conserve energy, we will say that somebody is difficult without considering, like, actually, what's happening here? Maybe she's not being difficult. Maybe the system is corrupt. Maybe the system is wrong from the start. Maybe the way that we operate things can be, like, you know, scaled back and built up again, right? But nobody wants to consider that because nobody wants to be bothered. That's the problem. And I want to say something to Black women. Black women, we have to understand that the world does not see us as human. And I wish that we would stop begging for the world to see us as human because they have made up their minds. They've dug their heels into the sand and have decided that we are not human, right? And this is scary. This is scary, especially when we're going into fields like the workplace or we're going into the medical field, right? We're going to go get service and to go, you know, deliver children or like go in for an OBGYN appointment where people don't really care about our bodies and the way that we feel and the way that we show up in them or how our bodies operate or how the trauma that we experience impact our health, right? Like, there are people who are out there like set on discounting Black women because they don't see us as human. And it's scary. And I understand the call that we feel to like convince other people of our humanity. And in those situations, yes, advocate for yourself, advocate for one another, like scream like hell, raise your voice, like do what you gotta do. I don't care if they call you angry, right? Because we need safety. We need justice. So when we go into the world, we have to go into the world sadly understanding that this world that I'm going into, this field, probably doesn't see me as human. And so sometimes we expect people to label us as angry. So then we try to get ahead of it, right? We try to be like, oh, I don't want to rock the boat too much. I don't want to be difficult. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say too much, because we know that the pressure is on us, unlike any other gender and race, to be anything but difficult. Like if we are at all difficult or inconvenient, right? If we raise our voice and demand, hey, actually, can you go back and recheck this? Can I get a referral for this thing, right? We're seen as difficult. People literally like sigh and roll their eyes. Like them doing their job for us is a problem. So I walk through the world very aware that the world does not value me. And I also understand that I don't value the world. The way that the West operates. I don't value how this world operates. And so I understand that if I am going to be something that pushes against the system, then I probably won't be as supported as I want to be by the outside world. However, there's a whole bunch of angry Black women who are out here like lighting it all up, setting it on fire, burning it down to rebuild or building their own things, right? There are Black women building birthing centers or Black women becoming doulas. Shout out to Tea Time Beauty, like seeing the disparities, right, in the birth community. Like, oh, actually, let me meet that need. And it's amazing because like, even that can be sourced from anger, because at the heart of it, anger, we keep saying like anger is a second emotion, right? It's a secondhand emotion. What is underneath of that anger, that sorrow, that empathy, that fear? And so when we feel like I am empowered to do something or to tell someone about it, I'm going to use this anger for fuel. And so I don't see anything wrong with it. I see nothing wrong with a Black woman being angry if it means saving lives, including her own, right? Not like Black women's anger keeps being used for other people's profit. Black women's, and even with the talking of Black women, the disparaging of Black women, you're still using Black women's likeness and their passion and their fire for gain. You're prostituting Black women. You're pimping Black women and their likeness for money and fame, right? Like, or attention or whatever the heck you're seeking. But yes, like, you have to honor and recognize that the Black woman is sacred, because y'all can't keep y'all mouths off of her. You can't keep your eyes off of her. You try your hardest to control her and condemn her and to shame her. But what if Black women were unashamed? What if we knew all of that, that the world sees us as this, and even still we show up and we take up space if we can, if it's safe, right? What if Black women were unashamed of being them? What if Black women said to each other, you know what? We don't fit in this. And good. We don't fit in this awful society. And wonderful. Because at the root of a Black woman's anger is love. It is love. It is care. It is righteousness. Who wouldn't benefit from that medicine? Anger can be medicine, can be medicinal. Anger can heal. Anger is like fire. I liken it to fire, right? Because it feels fiery to me. Anger, like you can feel the heat rise in your body. You could feel your blood pressure raising. You know, like you feel like sometimes you sweat or you raise your voice. It's just a heightened emotion, right? Fire can be used to burn down things. Fire can be used to burn someone. Fire can be used to be destructive. Absolutely. But fire can also be used to clean. Fire can also be used to heal. Fire can also be used to disinfect, to cook, right? To warm. There's so many benefits to fire, but the problem with the fire is not the fire itself. It's how it's being used, right? So even with our anger, there's nothing wrong with your anger. There's nothing to fix. If people are calling you an angry person, maybe you just haven't found a way to really like use that anger for your benefit and the benefit of others. Because what happens is we're told to not even touch or see our anger as sacred. And so we run from it. We look down on it. We hide it. We suppress it, right? And there are physical, mental, like there are consequences, severe consequences of us burying our anger. And we're going to get to that in a second. But when we bury our anger, we turn away from it like we should be ashamed of it. And so we never learn it. We never listen to it. And we never learn how we can use that anger as medicine, as something to heal, right? As something to heal society, heal the body, heal our justice system. As something to bring equality and equity, right? And righteousness. It's so frustrating to me because no, I want to stand in the middle of the street and scream and cry. But this world, the West, is telling me, be polite, be quiet, be ladylike, don't you want to be like me, passive aggressive and like low key burning up in rage, but swallowing it and dying slowly like me? No, I don't. No, I don't. God gave me my anger to use. God gave me my anger to light some stuff on fire, to clean some things, to burn some things out, right? To disinfect some things. That's what my anger is here for. Not for you to feel comfortable. My anger is not here for you to feel comfortable. My anger is not here for your comfort. And that's the thing. Black women are seen as people to be here for people's comfort. If we talk about a lot of us, like have a history of being, of our ancestors being enslaved, right? Their very being was sent here to bring comfort and ease to white folks who owned them. And other folks, we're going to, whatever. To people who owned them, right? To people who said that they owned them. They didn't own them. But people who enslaved them. Like, their whole being was here to bring convenience to other people. And people have not changed their mind about Black women. So, of course, everything we do is going to be too much. Of course, it's always going to be too loud. Of course, we're always going to be too opinionated. Of course, we're always going to be too masculine. Of course, we're always going to be too angry. Because they never saw us as human. So I just want you to sit with the fact that you being called angry is not your fault. It never was. There's nothing wrong with you. Everybody should be angry. And you being angry is proof that you still are in touch with your humanity and you're in touch with like the nature of what you know is right and wrong. That's a beautiful thing. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody leaves here unscathed with their emotions intact. You know what I'm saying? Because some people close off their emotions because it's too much to bear. I understand it. Sometimes the weight of the world is too much to bear, so we pretend that that nothing's happening. We cope with things. We get along with things. And even how people have turned cope into like a phrase to be insulting, it's like, we're all coping. You saying someone's coping is how you cope with whatever they're saying. It's weird, but like we're doing the best that we can to survive, right? And if you have capacity, touch that anger. Get around people who are angry like you, right? Like, I think there is so much beauty in honesty and anger. So even though the world doesn't see you as human, remain human anyway. Don't let them take your humanity away. Don't let them rob you of your humanity and your kindness. Don't. And your love and your rage. All those things make you human. All those things show that you care, you know? So the benefits of rage, what are the benefits of rage, right? Justice, seeking justice. A lot of the movements, a lot of the acts that were passed were started with anger. Like, this is not just. This is not right. How do we seek righteousness in this? How do we seek reparation in this? How do we seek to make this right again, right? A lot of it starts with anger or frustration or sorrow or empathy, right? So the benefits of rage, justice, seeking justice, peace, seeking peace. I'm tired of y'all blowing each other up. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of y'all shooting each other up over stupid stuff. I'm tired of it, right? I'm angry about that. And in being angry about that, let me seek ways of peace. A kinder society is created when people are angry enough to change it, right? Improvement on anything. Everything can get better. We are not at the like final stage of anything. I mean, it can feel like it, but we're not at the final stage of anything. As long as we got breath and we hear, we can always improve. And so it grieves me when people are always talking about like, oh, well, that's just the way of the world. That just is what it is. Nothing is ever just what it is. Everything is always changing. Everything is always moving. And also, where is your imagination? Don't insult yourself like this. Like, this is all there is. This is all that will ever be. When has that ever been true? Everything is always changing. Why can't we change things for the good? Why must we give up our hope and our dreams and set hope to the side and allow evil and just like evil things make way? And eat up everything, right? People talk about rage like it's a sin. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. Rage is a spiritual gift. The church, the workplace, it's never convenient. Like, everybody will always say, like, this is not convenient to talk about right now. This is not the issue. When is it going to be the issue? There have been a lot of protests that I've been seeing lately. Checking the time. There have been a lot of protests that I've been seeing lately where people are protesting in, you know, government buildings, and asking for a ceasefire on Palestine, right? Like, ceasefire, right? And at every one of these junctions, especially here in the DMV, it's always like, this is not the right time or the place. What do you want us to do something? What do you want us to do about it? Speak, do something. Don't sit there with your hands in your pockets like you don't have no power. We voted you into a position of power and you're not using it for power. You're using it to make other people comfortable. I have thoughts on our government. I'll keep them to myself for now. But you, they can do something. If the citizens who literally have no power like you can do something, like they say, like, oh, well, no one's gonna listen to you being disruptive. That's the whole point, honey. The whole point is to be disruptive. The whole point is to wake us up to the reality of the world. We're sitting here in this bubble of delusion. The angry people, the people holding up the signs, the people caring, the people lighting themselves on fire, right? Like, ooh, such a heavy thing to sit with, right? It's such a heavy act. What a decision to get there. Like, what was a process to make that decision? All of that comes from rage and anger and despair and sorrow and caring about other people, just generally. You know what I'm saying? But they're making it seem like you're a weak person, you're out of order for busting in here with your signs and your messages, asking for people to stop killing people. This is a rough time we're living in. I really don't get it. I don't get it. Who does it serve to swallow my rage? That's one thing that I ask myself. Who does it serve to swallow my rage? Not me. Not the people that I care about. Not even the people who don't want to hear my rage. Me leaving you in this bubble of like, nothing matters, everything's fine, when the world is on fire, like, why would I leave you in a burning house to die alone? Like, if I'm in a house with somebody who is pretending that the house is not on fire and it's on fire, they're in danger, right? Somebody has to sound the alarm. Somebody has to get the people out of bed. Somebody got to wake the people up, or else you're going to burn in that house. What is the difference? What is the difference of somebody coming in and saying, hey, your house is on fire? And what do they say to them? This is not the right time. Get out of here with your anger and your rage. Too much energy. Calm down. Like, that's the reality that people want to live in. It is an act of love to listen to someone's anger and help them to relieve it. It is an act of love to listen to someone's anger and then to help them relieve it, right? That is love, that is care, that is justice. So if a person comes to you and says, someone stole my wallet, we'll use that as an example. Is it my job to be like, stop being so angry? You know, God's going to give you what you want. Don't make a big fuss of it. Like, no, you're putting the weight of everything on the victim here, right? What would be better is, I am so sorry that happened. Let me help you cancel your cards. I'll take you to the MVA or the DMV, depending on where you are, to get you a new license. Let's go back to the place and see if anybody's found it. Like, that's how you help. Not by telling them to shut down and be quiet. It is an act of love to behold someone's fire and rage and care enough to try to do something about it. To try to at least hold them, to at least affirm to them that yes, things are upsetting. That yes, something is wrong, right? Not trying to convince them to not be angry. That's not love. That's you trying to make your life convenient for you. Like, that's not love. That's not care. Meanwhile, they're burning up, swallowing fire, burning themselves up from the inside out because they have no safe place to express their anger, no safe place to like metabolize their anger, to confine that fire in places that are beneficial, because you're telling them that anger itself is wrong. A way to joy can be through anger. Working through anger, you can get to joy. And you get to joy, right? You're joyful for the people who walked with you through this fire, who held your hand through the fire, who showed you how to manipulate this fire to use it for good, right? And a joyful experience at the end when reparation is found, when things are made right and just, right, and new. Like, we can get to joy, but first, sometimes we have to go through our rage and our anger. Sometimes we got to tear everything down off the shelves. We got to see what's here. And it's a mess at first, right? It's messy. It's inconvenient. We're stepping over things. It just feels cluttered. But when you see everything you have, when you see everything there, then you can make an educated opinion or an educated decision, based on what you see. But if you never see it, if you pretend that it's not there, it's just going to be taking up mental space in the back of your head. It's going to be eating away at your body, right? So the way to a more joyful and open and happy life is sometimes through rage and anger. And it sucks. Nobody wants to be angry. Being angry is not fun, right? Being angry alerts us to something being wrong in a way that we've been, or somebody else that we've seen has encountered injustice, right? So being angry is not fun, right? The process of even working through anger sometimes is not fun. Confronting people, dismantling systems, starting over, burning things down, making pivots, like that is difficult. But on the other side of that is beauty. On the other side of that is joy. On the other side of that is love, you know? So yeah, so anger can be very frustrating to deal with, but it is our teacher. Just like you have a car with a lot of things on the dashboard trying to tell you what's wrong with your car, your anger is letting you know you've been wronged in some way. Something is not fair. Something is not right. You know what I mean? And we need that because we live in a country where we're constantly being gaslit. Our anger is reminding us of our humanity because this culture wants us to lose our humanity, wants us to lose touch with the fact that we know what is right and wrong. This country gaslights us into thinking that it's us. We're the problem. We don't know what we're talking about. Our anger reminds us, girl, you know what you're talking about. I don't care what none of you might not be able to name it or put your hand on it, but you know something is wrong. You know something is wrong. It's hard being an angry Black woman when your anger is swept away and discounted because it's assumed that this is your original default. So maybe Black women have a lot to be angry about. That was my response. Like, it's annoying to be a Black woman in this culture and have nobody believe anything you're saying because they think we're born angry. Let's pretend that that's true, right? Let's pretend that we're born angry. Does that mean that there are things to be angry about that Black women are angry about? Like, what exactly are we saying? So let's say that Black women have been angry since childhood. That means there are things that are enraging in our life since childhood. Shout out to Marissa Price. She did a video about Black girl depression and how our depression symptoms show up very different than other people, right? And so some people might be saying that a Black woman is angry when really she is worn out. She is depleted. She is depressed. She has no capacity. She is at capacity. When you're at capacity, let's pretend this bottle is full, right? And I like to use this example. So you're at capacity, right? Anything that jostles you, you're going to spill over. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be too much, right? But if you have some space, I can shake this around in a top. And I can shake this around and nothing spills out. Because I have capacity. I have margin. A lot of Black women don't have margin. A lot of Black women are living on their margin. So yes, if you say something sideways to a Black woman, if you talk to her when she doesn't want to talk to anybody because she's stressed out, you might get an attitude. If a Black woman is depressed, but she is not given language for her depression, nor is she allowed to be depressed because who was going to take care of anybody, right? Because it's often left on the Black woman to do everything. Of course, she's going to come off as angry. Of course, she's going to explode. Like, Black women are human. I don't understand. You give Black women the weight of the world. You constantly tell Black women they're ugly, they're not enough, that they are, you know, the worst of the worst. And you expect Black women to take it on the chin and be like, okay, fine, great. It doesn't work that way. Black women are humans with feelings. And you're not upset that a Black woman is angry. You're upset that a Black woman is holding you accountable for what you did, said, didn't do. That's the real problem. Again, that this whole system is so abusive. This whole system is abusive. Telling us that we're the problem. And we're the problem because we won't shut up and go along with it. Maybe Black women are prophets. Maybe Black women know a better way and y'all just need to listen to them. Maybe that's what's going on. Because what's happening now doesn't seem to be working. Doesn't seem to be working very well. Some of the stress comes from oppression. The world telling us to suppress our rage. I will not rage in ways that are comfortable to you. That's one affirmation I wrote down. I will not rage in ways that are comfortable to you. When I go to the place, when people are showing up protesting these government officials in these buildings, they're not asking for your permission. I don't know if you know what protesting is. They're not asking for your permission. They're not asking, hey, do you like us? Is it okay if we, can we squeeze in here with our signs and our, is this, no, like that doesn't make any sense. Like we're trying to wake you up. And so I will not rage in ways that is comfortable to you. I will not burn myself to death trying to make you comfortable. I will not swallow the rage that you have given me, that you have inspired to make you comfortable. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. I'm not doing that in ways. I'm not here to make you comfortable or to give you peace. That's not. Because if you're at peace with the subjugation of others or the domination of others or the destruction of others, that's not peace. That's you being a sadist. That's not peace. That's apathy. That's not peace. Like, we gotta stop calling things what it's not. Peace for me is knowing that people are well, right? And I do have like internal peace, but I know that other people are not living peaceful lives and I can do something about it. And so I try to do something about it, right? My rage is not here to make you comfortable, but to inspire you to consider and change. And that starts with you being uncomfortable. So yes, my rage, my anger, a Black woman's anger will make you uncomfortable because that's the point. And if you're uncomfortable, how do you think that Black woman feels? Why are you centering yourself in anything? Right? Like, why are they centering themselves when we're the one that's angry? And they like to do this. They like to play victim to situations that they created. They could be anybody. Put they for whoever. Like, it could be white folks. It could be Black folks. It could be your cousin and them. Like, but we know those people who like to push buttons and make people upset, who violate people and disrespect people. And then they want to turn around and be like, stop being so angry. Calm down. Stop being so mean. And no, I won't calm down. You're not upset enough. Right? Because my life is not a joke. Like, my rage is not a joke. My rage is a sacred fire. My rage doesn't have to cause harm, but it will cause discomfort. That's the point. Like, it makes me uncomfortable, right? And it causes me to act. Sometimes I feel the passion in my throat. I have to speak. I have to say something. Like, it's uncomfortable for me because sometimes I don't want to speak. Sometimes I don't want to be involved, but I can't not. It would be selfish of me to not do say something if I feel called to do say something, right? My rage is medicine. Your rage is medicine. Your rage is medicine. It inspires healing from a sick world, right? And we have benefited from other people's rage. Like I talked about earlier, all the acts, like all the civil rights protests, like we have benefited from other people's rage. Sister Outsider, I've benefited from this book and I've benefited from Audre Lorde's rage. And I cannot wait to read her words about rage because I felt this way. And to me, Audre Lorde is an elder to me. Like she is somebody that I look up to. She's no longer here. But with her writings, I feel like I'm being mentored, right? Because she's giving me language for what I've always felt, but she's so eloquent. And basically like, there are uses for rage. When I read that essay, I felt seen. I felt like somebody gets what I've been trying to say. I mean, granted, she wrote this like a long time ago. I'm benefiting from her rage from this book. I'm benefiting from her sorrow, her experiences in life. I'm benefiting from Bell Hooks' experiences in life. I'm benefiting from like so many, I'm looking at all these authors that I have on my bookshelf, like so many of these people wrote books because of their discomfort, because of their sorrow, to reach back to help other people like me, people they will never meet, right? Like we've benefited from other people's rage, right? Writers and revolutionaries, radicals went off, the Angela Davises, the Gil Scott Herons, right? Like those are the people that we look up to and the Malcolm X's that we wear on t-shirts and all these other things, but we don't honor their rage. Martin Luther King is somebody that I hate seeing used in media because we always paint him as like this docile and peaceful. No, Martin was angry. When Martin passed, his heart had aged past the age that he was. Now, he had a lot going on, right? He's not, there are some things, but let's stay focused, right? Like the majority culture paints him in a way that is so dehumanizing because it takes away his rage and his image and his likeness is being used to try to keep Black folks in check. But we benefit from the revolutionaries and the radicals, the people who were brave enough to express their rage. Some of them died from their rage, from the work inspired from their rage, right? People that we benefit from even today. And I'm forever grateful for them. And I use them as permission slips. I use them as a model. I use them as a mentor. This is what happens when you put your rage to good use. These are the beautiful things that could happen when you honor your rage and your anger. This is what is possible. Like, this is what can happen. Like, this is the beautiful thing about rage. Like, these are the people that I'm looking up to and we should be looking up to. Again, like a lot of nonprofits in the area, like I live in the DMV area, a lot of nonprofits are started from seeing people being treated like unfairly, seeing people being unhoused, seeing people not having access to fresh food, right? Like these things should make you angry that systems are set in place to literally cause harm and destruction to people. It should make all of us upset and we should all be doing something to try to make it better. Something. Or linking up with someone else who is doing it, right? Adding our fire as fuel to their mission, adding our fire. Even if you don't want to be on the front lines, can you donate money to that person on the front line? You feel me? Like, can you send them an encouraging word and being like, I see you and I'm scared to speak out, but I'm so grateful for you. Please don't stop doing, like, people need to hear that, because all day long they're being told their anger is disgusting, it's sinful, it's inconvenient, that they themselves, their whole being doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Everybody gets to be angry and fight for their thing, except for Black women specifically. I was gonna say Black folks, but Black women specifically. Like, cause I even had to pause about that. Cause even within the Black community, Black men still don't see Black women as human. So a lot of times we just out here on our own. You know what I'm saying? Anywho, they want us to be ashamed of our passion and rage and lull us into complacency and apathy and respectability. They want us to prioritize their respectability politics above our own humanity, above our own lives. They want us to bury ourselves in that fire. They want us to shut up. They want that fire to consume us so they can stop hearing our voices and our complaints and our frustrations. They want to lull us into respectability, but we are not angry enough. Why is it always on the harmed person? Why is it always the responsibility of the harmed person to remain respectful? When we talk about respectability, why is it always about trying to appeal to people who are monstrous, to people who are evil? Why are we trying to appeal to any humanity in them? They obviously don't have any because they created this system. You feel me? Respectability is not going to get us nowhere because they don't respect us, period. It don't matter. They respect us as long as we make them comfortable. They respect us as long as we don't rock the boat, as long as we don't center our humanity and our experiences. Whenever we center ourselves and our experiences, they get uncomfortable. We know people like that. Whenever you center yourself, here they come with something to like try to humble you or bring you down, and then they get upset with you for being upset. No more. No mas. No mas. They want us to be ashamed of our passion and rage and lull us into complacency and apathy and respectability. And respectability. It's a lot of passive aggression that happens. Passive aggression is how they get along. It's like everybody's playing a game of pretend. Like, you're not going to outrightly say that you hate me, but you're going to create systems to remind me that you hate me. You're not, like, they do so much work. You're not going to tell me that you don't value me or my presence at your company or your office. You're just going to underpay me and overwork me, right? Or bully me out of that situation. It's never, they're not direct. And I think that a lot of, like, white folks call Black folks aggressive because Black folks are generally direct. Black folks going to tell you what they feel, what they got to say. They're not going to pussyfoot around the issue, right? They're going to be blunt and direct with you, which is honorable and beautiful. But because they are so passive aggressive and they like to do underhanded stuff, they like for their evil to not be so in your face, they're going to make you the problem. That's it. They're going to make you the problem because you dare speak out, because you dare be brave, because you dare have self-confidence. Like, that's how this game is played. So you're not going to win this game. You're not. And I honestly, I'm torn because I understand the appealing, right? Because lives are being lost for women not being seen as human, Black women not being seen as human. But on the other side, I yearn for a day where we don't have to prove anything to these people because they're not going to get it anyway. They're not going to get it anyway. And we can show better than we can say, right? We can say all day long, but they're not taking our words seriously. You know what I mean? And I wish that we would stop. I wish we didn't live in a society where we felt like we had to placate and, you know, play small and stroke egos and be respectable when people are dying. Why do I have to be respectable for telling you to stop killing people? Apathy won't save us. You pretending not to be angry won't save you. You hiding your rage won't save you. We need to alchemize our anger into medicine, love, kindness, justice, healing, which we do. You don't get kindness without anger. You don't get love without rage. They're all lovers. Rage is a lover. Anger is a lover, is a love emotion. It's not a negative. Anger is a love emotion because your anger loves you. When we feel angry when somebody wrongs us, right? We know that our anger loves us and our anger wants justice and righteousness. Our anger wants us to be honored and to be valued and seen. And when we are not those things or respected, right? Then our anger rises up because somebody's doing something wrong to me. So even like this, as I'm learning to like love myself more or learning how to love myself, there are inklings there that I do love myself. Even when I feel like I don't love myself. Yes, you do. Because when you get angry when somebody treats you wrong, that's love. That's love. When somebody stands up for someone else, that is an act of love and care and kindness, right? But we need to alchemize our anger, not ignore it, not pretend it's not there, not look down on it. Use it for goodness. We are powerful. And they know that. They know that. That's why they don't want Black men to feel our rage, because they know that if we put our rage together, we're going to put that into medicine that heals the world, honey. The world. Black women are not set on trying to destroy the... We're trying to destroy the systems, for sure, okay? Black women are upset because we want people to be treated well. We want people to be loved. We want justice. We want righteousness. We want equity. We want love and care. That's why Black women are angry. That's why Black women want a fair shot. But that's why I'm just like so inspired by all the Black women that I follow, right, on my journey. Here's a prime example. Dr. Kimani has a channel. Dr. Kimani is on mission, and Marissa Price are on mission to, and also other Black women, by the way, are on mission to save Black women from toxic jobs because of the harm that they've experienced on their job. So this is what I mean, right? That anger that they talk about, the being unseen, the being forgot about or used or exploited, or, you know, they talk about coming in and how they use you as a diversity hire, but actually we don't care about your ideas. You're just here to fill a placement, right? That feeling is hurtful and harmful, and it inspires anger and rage. And what have these women done with it? They're putting on a whole summit to help Black women get free from toxic jobs, start their own jobs, be inspired by other Black women who got free, who are healing, right? Like, that's what I mean, using anger as medicine. And not just for yourself, but for other people. That's what Black women have the power to do. And it's beautiful to witness, because Black women can be healing their own stuff, going through their own stuff. And one thing they're going to do is bring Black women with them. That's one thing Black women will do, right? And I don't know if it's like the best thing, but we all we got, we know that. And so when we are awakened to an idea, we share it. Like just like this video, I'm sharing with you, hoping that you will befriend your anger and not despise her anymore, not be enemies with her anymore, not see yourself as less than anymore, because some person who was out of touch with their own humanity calls you unhuman, like calls you anything but human for being angry, anything but holy, anything but sacred, right? So that is the power of our anger, the power of Black women's rage. It's amazing. So yes, you want a Black woman to be loving and kind and generous. You don't get any of that without rage or anger. You don't get to cut Black women in half and tell them what parts of them are holy and sacred and what parts are not. All of them is holy and sacred. All of them was given to them to be used for love, for medicine, for care, to bring righteousness to this world. Like, you don't get to have it your way. Like, women are not here to be fashioned into ways that you want them to be. Women are here to be powerful and to be purely and holy themselves. Not who you think they should be. They come already fit with who they are. We learn to hate ourselves. We learn to disrespect ourselves. We learn to distrust ourselves and even our anger, right? We learn to make enemies of parts of ourselves and wonder why we feel so fragmented and broken off, right? Because other people have taught us to hate those parts of ourselves. But what if we actually encouraged those parts of ourselves? If we sat and just listened to our anger, what would your anger say? What would your anger say? Would your anger say, I am so sorry that those people keep harming you, and I hate that they keep harming you. Please use me. Let me fight for you. What is your anger saying? I'm so tired of people being mistreated and not caring about people being mistreated. Let me give you words. Use me for your voice. Use me in your music. Use me in your art. Use me as fuel to tell the truth. Like, what is your anger? Sit with your anger today for a second. Anger, what are you? I'm sorry that I have dismissed you and have ruled you as unholy and as not sacred and fearful. I'm sorry that I have rendered you like unnecessary. I am so sorry. Talk to me. What are you trying to tell me? What do you need to say? What do you need to say? Yeah. Yeah, they want us to be ashamed of our passion and rage. They want us to be ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. Nothing. So again, why don't they want Black women to feel rage? Because they know we're powerful. We're going to change some stuff. We're change makers, right? They're guilty. A lot of people don't want to hear about your anger because they feel guilty. It could be that simple, right? Or they're being complicit in something happening. It's to be Marissa uses phrase, a truth teller. To be a truth teller and to be someone who stands up for people who are either too afraid to stand up or people who don't value, like standing up for people who other people don't value, right? It's going to cost you. People will fight you. People will drag you down because people are more comfortable with their complacency than they are with justice and change because it would inspire them to make change. People are comfortable. People are comfortable not caring and being apathetic. So you bringing any attention to true issues, like it's going to bring people to you to try to shut you down because some people feel guilty. Some people feel like they were complicit. They know we'll burn this whole thing down. They want the system to keep going. We want to destroy it and build something better. Okay. So they're going to protect it and ridicule you and use the names and, you know what I'm saying, like whistleblow and all these different things that are very cowardly. Like passive aggression is so cowardly. Passive aggression is so cowardly. Underhanded things, backhanded compliments, so cowardly. Say it with your whole chest. Say what you mean, but you can't say what you mean to say, because then I got you. So you have to create these illusions. Like the culture we live in creates like these twisted and like augmented and like, what is what I'm looking for? Like manipulated realities that are not real, but that they're having us live in to make them comfortable. We know that another world is possible. Shout out to Trisha Hersey, right? We know that another world is possible. Another reality is possible, but they don't want us to dream. They don't want us to create. They don't want us to speak out because they know that we'll burn all this down and make it harder for them because they then have to be just and kind and thoughtful. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. We'll touch rage. The reason why they don't want us to befriend our rage is because they know that we will touch rage and remember the pain that we tried to forget. There's a lot of suppressing that we do as Black women to get along because in order to survive, sometimes we have to. Sometimes when we really face and confront all the things, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's too much. It's too much. And so we're just trying to get along. So they know that if we touch rage, the rage that we're taught to forget, the rage that we learn to push to the side and ignore and to not see, if we touch that rage, we'll be activated. We will remember. We will literally remember ourselves, put ourselves back together. And that can be a very intense experience, right? But I think that it's a very necessary one. It's a very necessary one because it reminds us, again, of what we forgot. That medicine, that goodness, that love, that justice. We've been walking around in halves and in fractions, trying to be seen as respectable, trying to be seen as human to people who don't want to see us as human, who don't want to see us as enough. Our efforts should be put elsewhere, building our own thing where we don't have to depend on living in a fantasy world. And their fantasy, like literally, is destruction and death. That's their fantasy. That's their fantasy. When we know that our fantasy, if we have unlearned and are unlearning, like white supremacist culture, if we're unlearning, you know, competition and like the dog eat dog world ethics of society, of the society we live in, we know that the world that we want to create is beautiful and just and harmonious and healthy and vibrant, where everybody gets to thrive, where everybody deserves a chance. You feel me? Like, but they don't want that. They want it for them. So they want us to buy into their narrative and their limitations, their perceived limitations, their created limitations, because there are no limitations. They just create limitations. They create scarcity. They create the idea that things are scarce when they are not. They are, in fact, abundant. Abundant. And also they've dehumanized us, right? Like Black women aren't allowed to be angry because we weren't seen as people. Our introduction to this country was not a humane one, right? Our Black bodies, for those of who have enslaved ancestors like myself, like our Black bodies were seen as tools, not people. They were seen as tools. They were seen as vessels to be used to bring forth somebody else's idea or somebody else's wealth, right? Or well-being. Like the bodies that created my body were never seen as a human. So for us to have emotions for some of them, this sounds wild, but for us to have emotions to some of those people, like it's like mind blowing to them. Like, what? You got feelings? I thought you liked this. Because we're living under subjection and like, oh, that's just the way of the world. That's just how things are. It's interesting. People's minds are interesting. But yes, but rage is the beginning of hope. Let's circle it back, right? Rage is the beginning of hope. Rage is love. Rage is kindness. Rage is care. If we were paying attention, we'd all be angry. If we cared, we would all be angry. If we loved, we would all be angry about something. Maybe you're not angry about everything. Maybe it's too much to be angry about everything, but all of us are upset or angry about something, and all of us have something that we're angry about that we have swallowed and pretended that it's not there. For the comfort of other people, for the sake of our own sanity and well-being, right? Like, for the sake of not wanting to be perceived as an angry Black woman, because we're so afraid of that title, we will pretend to be okay with things we're not okay with. We will receive service that is subpar because we're afraid to speak up. We will not get the pay that we want because we're afraid of being blackballed or even like a raise, right? We're afraid of being dismissed and being seen as difficult and therefore being put on the list to be like bullied out of our jobs. We're afraid of our anger because when we share our anger, it is met with some sort of like repercussion. It's met with some sort of like dehumanizing act, ridicule, right? Embarrassment. But it is the beginning of hope and humanity. Like, maybe you're not wrong. Maybe you're not losing it. Maybe we all need to lose it. Maybe we all need to, like, there's a lot of suppressing I feel like the human race does to pretend that we're okay. There's a lot, like when I think of like the human brain and how it wants to protect us, there's a lot of protecting our brain, a lot of shielding our brain is doing. Nope, too much. What if we lifted that? Yo, what might be birthed from that? What art might be created? What changes might be made in the world? What love might be shared? These are the things I dream of and hope for. We try so hard to avoid anger as Black women, but we all need an angry stage. Black women need an angry stage. Black women need a chance to lose it. We need to go to a rage room. We need to go to the woods to shout and cry and scream. We need to break some stuff up, punch some pillows. We need to express our anger and our rage. Every Black woman needs an angry phase, every single one. And I feel like when we reach that angry phase, sometimes like that fire that I talked about, the fire of our rage burns up anything that is not pure. That fire and rage burns up anything that is fake and false. And then now you have a more purified version of yourself because you've been through the fire. And you are now in touch with your soul and who you are and what you expect. What are the standards, right? Like, you're a whole new person. Every Black woman deserves an angry phase. And it's not just because of that, right? It's also because if we don't have an angry phase or an angry stage, we could die. We're talking high blood pressure. We're talking diabetes. We're talking high cholesterol, right? We're talking mental illness. We're talking fibroids, right? We're talking stress-induced illnesses and diseases in our bodies because we refuse to acknowledge the anger that is trying to keep us safe. That anger that you feel at your job is not the anger to swallow and pretend it's not there. That anger is the inspiration to either fight for equality at your job if you have the capacity or find someplace else to go. Or not give them your all, something in between, right? Whatever you decide. That's what your anger and rage is there for. Not for you to keep swallowing it every day, feeding yourself poison and fire every day, thinking you're not going to get burned. Like, there are psychological ramifications for swallowing anger too. Depression, anxiety. And again, I'm going to put Marissa's video about Black girl depression below because it's really informative, really eye-opening, and really important for Black women to understand how their mind, their psyche, their things work. Like, it's not a one-size-fit-all. We have a different understanding and background than a lot of people here in this country. And so things show up differently, and they should be honored and cared for. Yes. So holding in that anger and rage is harmful. That's my point. It's harmful. You get depression, anxiety, right? Emotions that turn into bodily pain or physical pain, right? I know people who have autoimmune diseases because of stress in their life. I know people whose lives are completely changed forever because of the stress in their life. Like, your anger, you have to, in order I want you to process your anger because I don't want you to die. I don't want you to get sick before you realize, oh, I need to get myself together. Something's not right. You don't have to die angry. Like, you don't have to die because you were at war with your anger, right? You don't have to become ill because you refuse to listen to the anger that is trying to save you. I don't want that to be your fate. And I'm going to include a Psychology Today article below as well It goes more in depth about like the effects of holding in our anger and what that can do to our minds and our bodies and our souls and our spirits. Your anger is not a vile thing. Your anger is an appropriate response to injustice, to people being uncaring or unkind or dismissive, disruptive, or disruptive in a bad way, like not progressive, right? Like ruining progress, like being dehumanizing, being mean and evil. Like your anger is not the vile thing. The vile thing is the thing that caused your anger. Like that is the thing that is wrong, right? Or how you understand something that's happening. Or even like reminding you of things that happened in your past and your anger not wanting that to happen to you again. Like your anger is not the enemy. The enemy is the thing that caused the anger in the first place. And so like I said earlier, a lot of people call on Black women's anger when it's convenient for them. They'll be like, how come Black people haven't spoken out on X, Y, and Z? Where are the Black women at? Oh, Black women have to save the day again. So we're allowed to use our anger for you, for your benefit. But Black women are never allowed to use their anger for themselves because Black women are never seen as themselves. Black women are never allowed to belong to themselves. They are only seen as a tool. And that is another way that Black women are being used as tools. Their anger is not held as sacred. Their anger is not held as something that is beautiful and like holy. Their anger is something that people tap into, something that people take from, right, to push forth their issues and their problems. But Black women are always seen like, oh, we'll get to that in a second. Just wait, right? So we put everybody else's issues in front of ours and we get buried underneath. Even with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? Feel however you want to feel about the movement. The intention behind it, I support. Not a lot of Black women got the same amount of attention and care and consideration, nor justice. And so even Black women using their fire and their rage for Black men and their well-being, you still go online today and you see Black men spitting on Black women because they never saw us as holy and sacred. So Black women are still being exploited for the beautiful things that they bring into the world, including their anger, that they want us to feel bad about having. Why are you angry? Go deep. Ask why. I keep saying this. Ask why at least 7 times. Okay, let's see. Somebody cuts me off in traffic. Why am I angry about that? That person could have got me into an accident. They put my life in danger because they want to get to where they're going fast enough. Why am I upset about that? Because they think that I am an NPC. They think that I don't have places to be either, right? They're not taking into consideration my life, my time, like my safety. Why am I upset about that? Because that means that you don't see me as human. I feel dehumanized. I feel disrespected. I feel like you don't care about my sacred life, right? Or I can also be upset that we live in a society where people feel like they have to rush to work because if they don't get to work on time, they might get fired. So they can risk their lives and lives of other people trying to get to work on time because they're scared their boss is going to fire them for being 5 minutes late, for being human, right? Like, so there are there are layers to our anger. We just have to reach down and listen to them and take note and figure, okay, what can I do? I can't do anything about that person cutting me off, right? But I can breathe. I can acknowledge that was an act of harm. I'm not gonna gaslight myself. I'm not gonna tell myself to get over it. I'm gonna feel my feelings and be pissed off and process it and get to the heart, right? And then I'm gonna refill my well. I'm gonna get around people who do make me feel seen, who do allow me to be human, who do allow me to vent, right? I might cry. I'm gonna do whatever I need to do, but I'm not gonna pretend that I'm not angry just to get along, just to be the bigger person, just to be a good Christian, whatever you wanna, like, whatever people are, you know, saying, to be respectful. And that person didn't respect me. I'm not chasing him down. I'm not shooting their person's tires. I'm not cussing them out, right? Like, but I'm upset. And I'm allowed to be upset. And you're allowed to be upset. You're allowed to be angry. Like I said, anger is an appropriate response to harm, injustice, lies, theft, unkindness, all of it. Your anger is not wrong. Sorry, plant. Mwah. Your anger is not wrong. Your anger is not wrong. Your anger is alerting you to something else that is wrong. Black women are always pressured to be nice and respectable and pleasant and not intimidating. And so we play this patriarchal game of like, I am just a docile woman. I am not a threat to you or what. Like we do all this playing around whole time. Your inner you was like, girl, I'm pissed. Stop playing with me. You know, so like our anger is looking at us like, tell me how this is working out for you. Tell me if this is getting you what you want and what you need. Being respectable. Being respectable. So earlier I said Audre Lorde, one of my faves. She has a book called Sister Outsider. And in that book, she has an essay called The Uses of Anger, Women Responding to Racism. So this essay is about women of color specifically responding to white women. And I say women of color because she says that, but also she is a black woman. So she talks about her experience as a black woman as well. Like responding to white women who do that to her, right? Why are you so angry? Why are you so upset? Calm down. Can you say it in a less aggressive manner? Can you not talk just about black women? Can you also include white women? No, she cannot. So anyway, so I'm going to read some excerpts from her essay, just like thought-provoking things that like resonated with me. Like I have a whole bunch of highlights and stuff. So here we go. Uses of anger responding to racism. So one thing that she wrote is women respond to racism. Her anger, right? She's talking about her anger. My response to racism is anger. And it's justified. My fear of anger taught me nothing. Your fear of that anger will teach you nothing also. That was so profound to me. My fear of anger taught me nothing. And your fear of that anger will teach you nothing also. So then in her essay, she lists a bunch of examples of how people have pissed her off essentially in the space, in the feminism space. And just in general, in academic spaces and places. So one of the examples she gives is, I speak out of direct and particular anger at an academic conference, and a white woman says, tell me how you feel, but don't say it too harshly or I cannot hear you. Black woman, we all know why are you being so aggressive? Calm down. Stop being so masculine. Why are you being so intimidating? We all know what that feels. But because we're blunt and straightforward and we don't pussyfoot around and play them games, right? You see me as aggressive. She says, but is it my manner that keeps her from hearing or the threat of a message that her life may change? And this is exactly what I was talking about earlier. They're not upset that you're upset. They're upset that you're calling them out and they don't want to change. And they don't want to see themselves reflected in the anger that you're expressing. So she says, everything can be used except what is wasteful. You will need to remember this when you are accused of destruction. So when you are angry, you're going to be accused of destruction, but everything can be used, including our anger. Women of color in America have grown up within a symphony of anger at being silenced, at being unchosen, at knowing that when we survive, it is in spite of a world that takes for granted our lack of humanness and which hates our very existence outside of its service. And I say symphony rather than cacophony, because we have had to learn to orchestrate those furies so that they do not tear us apart. Audre Lorde. So they do not tear us apart. We have to take all that anger, all the ugliness of the world, and make it into something beautiful and something that we can live in so it doesn't destroy us. And destroy everybody else either. Those of us who did not learn this difficult lesson did not survive. And part of my anger is always libation for my fallen sisters. So I am angry and I speak out on my anger for people who could not speak out about their anger, for people whose anger consumed them, for people who are too tired to speak out, right? For people who gave me my voice to speak out. It is not the anger of other women that will destroy us, but our refusals to stand still, to listen to its rhythms, to learn within it, to move beyond the manner of presentation to the substance, to tap that anger as an important source of empowerment. Our anger is an important source of empowerment. I cannot hide my anger to spare your guilt, nor hurt feelings, nor answering anger. For to do so insults and trivializes all of our effort. Guilt is not a response to anger. It is a response to one's own action or lack of action. And that's exactly, I know for a fact that I am sacred and everything about me is sacred, including my anger. It is the world around me that is convincing me that my anger is unholy or it is inconvenient or ugly or demonic even. It is not my anger that launches rockets, spends over $60,000 a second on missiles and other agents of war and death, slaughters children in cities, stockpiles nerve gas and chemical bombs, sodomizes our daughters and our earth. It is not the anger of black women. I love this because like we love calling black women angry. Black women are not tearing down the world. Black women are not bombing people. Black women are not like leaving people out to starve. Black women are not creating conditions under which people cannot survive or thrive. Like y'all, like they make black women's anger the enemy because black women's anger is the enemy of the oppression. It is the enemy of the oppressor and their ideas in their systems. That's why they hate Black women. That's why they hate Black women's anger. Because it's medicinal. It's healing. It will destroy what is evil. So one last thing I said, I will not die an early death trying to make those who hate me comfortable. You get change from the angry people. You get a blessing from the angry people. It is not our fault, angry people's fault. It is not sensitive people's fault, kind people's fault, loving people's fault, Black women's fault. It is not Black women's fault that you don't get it. And it's not our job to make you get it either. It's our job to use our anger as medicine, not trying to fight for you to see me as human, but for you to use my anger and put my energy and effort into things that are actually like beneficial. I don't need to go back and forth with you about my humanity or about like my right to live. I'm no longer ashamed of myself. I'm no longer ashamed of my anger. And I see my anger as something so beautiful and so sacred. I see my anger as like, as a guardian, you know? Your anger wants to protect you. Your anger wants justice. Your anger shows that you are human, that you are sensitive, that you have hope and a better expectation than what currently is. Your anger shows that like you are a visionary, you are medicinal, like you are a blessing, you are human, you are enough. So how can you alchemize your anger, right? Like I said, go to rage rooms. I went to a rage room. My husband took me to a rage room, and that was, let me tell you something, that was one of the best things I ever did. I was sore afterwards, but I had a lot of anger pent up and I needed to get it out of me. So breaking things in a room that is like secluded and safe and that I'm kept safe was amazing. Singing. I've created a whole album called Rage, a whole EP about, you know, talking about working 9-to-5 jobs and still being broke and just trying to survive, or like people being mean, or like people being trolls in your life, like trying to impede progress. Like I've written music about the things that I've felt. Like I'm not going to just swallow my rage and my fire. I'm going to process it. Talk about it. Find safe spaces to talk about it. I know as a Black woman, we don't really have a lot of safe spaces to talk about our anger or things that bother us, because a lot of people don't care. But other Black women get it. Even if you just want to talk into your phone, get some words to that anger. Get some eyes on that thing. Get to the root of that thing. Why am I upset about this? Because I promise you it's not silly. I promise you there might be some sort of like underlying thing underneath of your anger. You might think that you're angry about something is silly, but when you get to the heart of it, it's legitimate. It's legitimate. Don't discount yourself. Don't discourage. Don't disrespect yourself like that. Talk about it in safe spaces. Talk about it and connect with others. Like I said, there are a bunch of Black women online right now talking about a lot of things that are upsetting them. And that's what I love about like TikTok and YouTube and like the beautiful side of social media, because it can be very ugly. But the beautiful side of it is that there are people who have language to what you feel that maybe you didn't have. There are people who are putting you on game. There are people who are sharing their own wisdom, their own journey, right? There are people who are helping other people out so that they feel less alone, you know, finding those communities, speaking up about injustices. Even if you're the only voice in the room, maybe you don't feel informed enough. Maybe you don't feel like, you know, I don't know, like you're brave enough. But in your own way, like even recognizing it to yourself is a big deal. You reminding yourself that is wrong. That is wrong. At some point, that reminder of your humanity, that fire is going to pop up in some way. There's something that you can do. You can call someone. Maybe you can help people protest if that's what you feel. Or maybe you can create something that is healing and that is a balm to the angry soul, right? Like something. You can do something. All in all, I just want you to know that like you're beautiful. That everything about you is beautiful and enough. It is sacred. It is holy. It is a gift. And we need your anger. Your anger needs to be recognized and to be processed. Your anger needs to be listened to and taken seriously. I think about mothers and how you'll see videos about women whose children fall under cars, and they'll garner the strength to lift that car up and to set their children free. They talk about like mama bears, right? Women who are very protective of their young, very protective of their people, right? That protection, that beautiful display of love and value, right, is made by angry women or fearful women or whatever, like hurt women, scared women. Like these, we are so powerful. And the world knows it. And I just want you to know it and not see yourself as an enemy, but as a friend, as a love, as a great addition to this fabric, like this quilt of the world. an important puzzle piece. And nothing you do is too small. Nothing you do is too big. You're not too anything. You are you. You have always been you, and you has always been enough. So I honor your anger. I see your anger. I love your anger. I love you. And I hope that you are learning to love yourself. I'm learning to love myself and my anger. And I hope that you, above all, just learn to accept yourself, to see yourself as a good thing, because you are, you have been always, and you will always be a good thing. Like I said, I made an album called Rage. And if you want to check it out, I'll put the link to the album below. I really love this project. You know, usually I'm making music about like, oh, love and light. But I really, you can't have love and light without anger. You can't have love without anger. You can't have light without anger, because light shines a light on. Light illuminates what is wrong. What you gonna do, pretend you didn't see it? What does love do? Love acts. Love calls us to action, to make right what is wrong. You are holy, you are sacred, you are divine. And I'll talk to you all in the next video. Hope you enjoy the music. I hope you enjoy your day.